On this week's episode, you talk about ordinary angels.
And other pop culture news from the week. Before we get into this week's news, we have a in memoriam, I guess. The creator of Dragon Ball has passed away.
Yeah, Akira Toriyama passed with 68 years old. 68, right? Yeah.
That sounds right.
And he was the creator of Dragon Ball that was still going.
Yeah.
So he could be credited as the man that brought Japanese animation or anime to America after Dragon Ball came so many other things. And he was very talented young and gave us a very strong family oriented funny show to Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Z, and all the other iterations of the show. It's a great loss. Our sentiments to the family and us fans, we can surely say he will be missed.
Okay, moving on to our usual content now. We just got back from the theater, as per usual, and this week we watched Ordinary Angels, the film starring Hilary Swank and Rich Ashton, right? Nope, Rick Ash. What is his name? What? I messed
Alan
this up.
Richardson.
Alan Richardson. Oh my gosh. All right, I'm
Rick
gonna
Ashton, Rick Ashton
back.
Is like, I'm not gonna get you.
No, that's Rick Astley.
Okay, sure. Now I doubt
still,
your
okay,
name.
Okay, let me just start over there. Starring Hilary Swank and
Alan
Richardson.
Richardson.
There we go. Anyway, they're in the movie.
Yeah. Kingdom something production.
Mm-hmm.
Distributed by Sony, I guess.
Lionsgate. Mm-hmm.
Very good. It was actually better than by the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
I had good expectations. I thought it would be good. But there was some, I don't know, maybe I didn't pay attention, maybe the trailer wasn't clear. But by the trailer, I had one notion about the story. And watching the movie, it was mm-hmm. like, wait a minute. It's actually more, how can I say, is more ordinary on the sense that on watching the trailer, the movie is, can you do a synopsis about the movie according to the trailers or?
Yeah, so basically this is based on a true story. This it all takes place in Louisville, Kentucky in between like 93 and 94. There, Hilary Swank plays a woman who is a functioning alcoholic, but kind of in denial about all of it. And then she finds out about a local family who's just going through it. The mother just passed away, and now their little girl is also dying unless she can get a liver transplant. And so Hilary Swank's character decides, like, this is it. This is my purpose. I'm going to save this girl. I'm going to help this family. And so then what ensues is, like, different trials of faith and miracles and then more trials and just everything that they went through together. It's really beautifully told. Definitely an ugly cry movie. I don't really want to give away any more details. But I agree with him. I found the story a lot richer and deeper and more profound than what I had thought from the trailers.
Yeah.
It was pretty good.
The trailer was good. For me, the main element was on the trailers, not clear that Hilary Swank's character, the woman that, you know, saves the day, I thought of her as Erin Brockovich on steroids, because she moves heaven and earth. She does impossible things considering her circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
On the trailer, it's not clear that she was a rando, that she was someone just...
Oh, yeah.
The trailer made me believe that she was someone that worked doing that. I don't know if you had that impression.
No.
But she is a complete stranger.
Yeah. Like, she looks at a newspaper and is like, done.
Yeah.
Here we go.
She's like, oh, this is so sad. someone has to do something about it. And she did.
Yeah.
She was a hairdresser. She had a salon.
It's always going to be salon.
Hair salon. Yeah, whatever. So a hair salon. Does it spell different?
Yep.
No.
Totally different. Hair salon, S-A-L-O-N, one O.
Yeah.
A saloon is S-A-L-O-O.
N. Oh, okay. There saloon. You go. So she has a hair saloon?
Nope. This is really fun for you, isn't it?
Enough with fairy jokes. Yes. Anyways, so she has a hair salon. She has her own life, her own tragedies and joys. But she saw in the news someone that desperately needed help.
Uh-huh.
And she decides to do it. It's like, from the trailer, I thought it was really good, someone that worked helping that family quite a lot, but knowing that this person was a complete nobody, she was no connection to the family. I don't think she not even lived close by, because at some moments we see, it doesn't feel like it's in the same city. Maybe neighborhood city?
Yeah, it's the same city, I think, but Louisville is like, it's the capital of Kentucky. It's not a huge city, but yeah, they're definitely different parts of town. There's no, they don't go to the same church. There's no connection.
Yeah. And that for me was like, wow, this is really about ordinary angels. Someone that, was willing to help a nobody just because she felt, she could, and she really could. She does amazing things. The Hilary Swank is great on it. She's an Oscar winning actress. She proved more than once that she can act in different roles. This one she plays a older lady, older than her age, right?
You think?
Well, we saw the pictures, and pictures maybe of the original character. And she looked like older. I mean, I guess the guy, the character portrayed by Alan Richardson also looked older too.
But it's not totally fair to compare like normal people to like Hilary Swank.
True, but I
or thought Alan Richardson.
She has an adult kid.
Yeah.
And he has young kids, so she's older than him.
I guess so, yeah.
Because one thing that brought Alan Richardson to the role is was that he liked this platonic relationship, community helping each other, being a romantic relationship, and it's not about it. She's trying to help, and at a lot of moments, he says no, thank you, bye, and she says like, I don't care. It's not about you.
Too bad. I already did it.
Yeah. It's about your little girl. And she moves, again, heaven and earth to do it.
Yeah.
But again, she's great on it. And he's really good too. We also have Nancy Travis. We have that guy that's on everything. I can't remember his name. The pastor was on Curb.
Yes.
He's
like a really familiar voice. I couldn't tell you his name or what he's been in, but whenever he shows up, I'm like, oh, that's that guy.
Yeah.
He's one of those actors. Oh, that guy.
Yeah. Really well done. Very compelling. Captivating. It keeps you.
It was. And given like, even though they don't really give it away in the trailer, but you kind of know from like the tone of the movie and like who it's coming from, you kind of know where it's going. But even knowing that, it was still, captivating, compelling.
It is. It creates a connection. Mm-hmm. It creates a suspense of disbelief. It's not Hilary Swank. It's good acting. It's not Alan Richardson. It's like those people, and they do a terrific job. The movie extremely well done.
Mm-hmm.
It's really well received by critics and audience.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those that everybody loves it because there's.
It's just good stuff. It's a good story, and they did a good job telling it.
To love it, yeah.
They didn't take the faith and religious aspect out of it, but it also doesn't feel like you're getting like hit over the head with it. It's really beautifully done. There's this remarkable. Well, something that I took away from it, something that happens over and over and over in this film, is like something really bad happens, but somehow that really bad thing ends up being like an answer to prayer. Somehow, like these bad things turn into. There's a lot to talk about, a lot to take from it. I don't want to spoil anything. Just know it's a really good quality, like family friendly, wholesome, but also like really deep movie. Yeah. And it's totally worth seeing.
And it's very
and again, real. Ugly cry. Just be prepared to ugly cry.
It's very real. The movie is excellently done. Mm-hmm. Editing, producing, directing, acting. But there's this thing that I thought it was very, very interesting. They could ignore. They could overlook. The woman has problems. The woman is not perfect. She's actually trying to improve her life and mm-hmm. overcome her own obstacles and overcome her own tragedies. Mm-hmm. But she's willing to bypass that. And help someone mm-hmm. without asking for any help or anything, which is very, very mm-hmm. selfless act. And a lesson that, you know, no matter what problems you have, you might be able to help someone else with, mm-hmm. If not a bigger problem, with a different problem. Mm-hmm. It was overall really good.
Yeah, it's really good. There's a lot to unpack there. What you were just saying reminded me of something... President Hinckley once said.
Yeah, I told him.
Oh, did you? No, so this is a former leader of our church who passed away, but was like really... Anyway, he would talk about it, like the best way to solve your own problems is to like go help somebody else. And then, yeah. You know, a lot...
It's a scripture, right? It's like if a man loses his life...
Oh, yeah.
He'll gain.
Uh-huh.
If a man is willing to lose his life, yeah. he'll gain something like mm-hmm. that.
Yeah.
There's a lot to unpack here. I just don't remember. There's a lot to remember.
Yeah. There is. And there's a lot. There are a lot of ways you can look at this story. A lot of layers to it. Personal redemption, miracle, selfless service, sacrifice, family, all this great stuff.
Yeah. And it's a really good movie. If it was made by a big studio... It would be like a bigger hit than it is, because it has everything a great movie has, you know, the human element of tragedy, overcoming a challenge. It has little kids. It has a loving father, really well. Loving family, and a loving community. And it's a real story.
Right? Yeah.
So it has all the elements of a great movie. If it was a big studio, you'd hear this movie like a lot. It would be huge and yeah. But it's an independent, let's call it independent studio. It's mm-hmm. a small company, but you should see it. Support them, but also enjoy the movie.
Mm-hmm.
We had some technical difficulties here for a second.
We're recording in the middle of a Wasatch Front windstorm.
Yes.
Just for you. So, yeah, bear with us.
Yeah, I'm curious what the TV, our monitor, are going to show.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because I guess nothing. That's good.
Yeah.
Okay. Back to it. So, Ordinary Angels,
mm-hmm.
it's available on theaters everywhere. You should go see it. It's we fully recommend. Mm-hmm. It's fun. I can't remember the ratings, but I'm pretty sure it's PG-13 at least, right?
At the most, yeah.
Yeah.
At the most. It could very well just be PG.
It could. I think even when
there wasn't really any language,
he doesn't say anything inappropriate.
There's like heavy thematic stuff, right? Like a kid is dying. That's a lot. Yes. But so if it's higher than PG, it's just because it's heavy themes. That's all.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely worth it. Go support this film. Okay.
Okay, so we also saw the first two episodes. We actually saw the entire show, but we're going to talk about the first two episodes of Manhunt, the new Apple TV Plus production.
Mm-hmm.
This one is about the manhunt of the murderers, the killers of President Abraham Lincoln, namely John Wilkes Booth. And David, I can't remember his name, but there's a whole secret cabal, a whole group behind it, and we watched the first two, and
I think the show was phenomenal. I think it's really well done. I'm not by no means like an expert in this particular event or even this moment in American history. But from what I could tell, the historicity of it is like A+, really well done. Great acting. Although ironically, Lincoln is like the worst. I don't think they cast him right at all.
But again,
and it was almost a relief when he died. I was like, oh, okay, we don't have to watch much more of him.
after Daniel Day-Lewis, it's tough to follow that. Even Lincoln was like, oh, this guy's too good. I'm glad I died.
yes, to be fair, they used a lot of prosthetics that I don't think were terribly well executed. And if you're gonna do prosthetic, you either need to like lean in to like have excellent prosthetic, or just accept the fact that this guy doesn't look a whole lot like Abraham Lincoln, and we're just roll with it. Yes, he is tall. But like the contact lenses were a little wonky sometimes. I don't know. And then he was doing this fake voice. I was just like,
for me, the only distraction was actually the voice, the actor. Yeah. It was like, wow. Like, very, very, yeah. But besides that.
But that's seriously, like, that's all I've got. Yeah. Everybody else, great acting, well written. Again, even kind of knowing how it ended, it was still, because, like, spoiler alert, John Wilkes Booth killed Abraham Lincoln. Whoa! It was still a pretty riveting story from beginning to end.
Yeah, the show is really well executed. It's really well done. The acting, Tobias Menzies, and that other guy, I can't remember his name. He's actually on Masters of the Air.
That's right.
And you see, he has range because he plays a despicable character on John Wilkes Booth on this one, and he plays a very, very a hero on the other on the other one. So kudos to him. He does a terrific job.
He really did. Like, terrific job to the point, like, already, I don't think anybody's a big fan of John Wilkes Booth. You hate him more by the end. Like, he's so well portrayed. He gives us so many new reasons to, like, intensely dislike this guy.
I did read a couple of books in the past about the whole assassination, and they cover really, really, really well aspects of the whole of the whole complot, the whole plot.
There you go.
To assassinate the president.
Mm-hmm.
The art direction, the photography, it's really fun. It's really fun. It's really captivating. It's really compelling. It transports you to that time, and
yeah.
Tells the story of this great tragedy and give you some, I don't know if everybody knows about all those details, but it gives you how the assassination was. They were trying to kill several other people.
Yeah,
I don't know if there's general knowledge, but it gives you a lot more, and how Booth was like cuckoo. And even that, to the very end, there's some stuff that you might not find out if it's true or not, because again, yeah, it's kind of crazy. Anything else?
I would just say this is well worth a watch. Not a family show, but very worth watching, because it also they use the story to really dig into some of like the aftermath of the Civil War and how Reconstruction and what went wrong and some of the fallout of Lincoln's death. It wasn't just like, oh no, this beloved president died. This had a pretty huge impact on how the country rebuilt and reunified, but also how like it didn't rebuild and reunify and kind of sowed seeds that for a harvest that we're still reaping today. Like we're feeling the effects and these consequences like throughout time. It's really interesting stuff. Well executed production design, phenomenal. It was so great. So yeah, I think it's well worth watching. So on Apple Plus, or Apple TV, whatever. They're Apple still
TV Plus.
Yeah, Apple TV Plus is still turning out great.
Yeah.
Great content.
Manhunt, available on Apple TV Plus. Mm-hmm. First two episodes and one episode every other week.
Every other week?
Every week.
I think it's every week.
Every week. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, another show we've been watching. This is on Netflix. This is Guy Ritchie's The Gentlemen.
Yeah, so it's an adaptation, a different version of what he did in the movie. Yeah.
Or maybe a follow-up? Like, would it be fair to call it a sequel?
No. He said it's the same universe, but at this point, I don't think... I mean, it could be. That was
my impression, because, like, the movie is, like, in the 60s, right?
Huh? No. The movie is current time. What movie are you thinking?
I'll be honest, I get a lot of his movies mixed up. Are you sure it's current time?
It's current time, yeah. Yeah. They have cell phones and things.
In the movie?
Yeah. What movie are you thinking?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. The series was awesome, though.
Yeah. Apparently the movie was, because she can't remember. There are a lot of things
I can't remember, and we watched an insane amount of movies.
Anyways, so this one is a similar story. I wouldn't go as far calling a sequel. At this point, it's not clear. But the plot is very similar. Mm-hmm. It's about the gentleman. It's about the... what's he say once? About royal lords... when the word of royal lords collide with the word of drug lords. So there you have the gentleman, because, you know, but that's not really gentlemanly of both sides in this case, because they're all criminals. But terrific, terrific show, well written. He directed the first two episodes. It has an amazing soundtrack. The actors are doing a terrific job. Highlights for the actress that plays Susan, the actor that plays Freddy. I don't mention the Theo James that plays Edward, because he's known. You've seen him in several other things. He's famous. But these two I never seen. And I was like, wow, these two have future. And everybody else do a terrific job. Of course, Vinnie Jones is there, because it's a Guy Ritchie show.
Yeah.
And I guess they're really good friends, and I guess, you know, it pays up to have friends.
Guy Ritchie has a brand, and that brand is nicely, like, embodied, represented, incarnate in Vinnie Jones.
Yeah, and he's like a traditional man, like, very manly, doesn't have to speak much, and he's there when you need, so.
Yeah, and that is very much his role in this. He doesn't show up often, but when he does, he's always doing very manly things, and taking care of business and giving advice that sounds roundabout, but it's very on the nose, but it's great.
Yeah, Giancarlo Esposito is there too, doing a terrific job. Giancarlo Esposito, that was sort of all over the news. I don't think he said it again. I think is some sectors of the media like to rehash some news to doing like sort of a fanboy type of plea. They mention a quote that he said that he wants to be Professor X he wants Denzel Washington to be Magneto. And bringing all sort of debates, and the people that said no, the people that hate it, the people that love it. I honestly think they're good actors, but find other roles for that, because and then of course there's people that bring the fact that the farce that Professor X and Magneto were inspired by, they were created inspired by Martin Luther King and Malcolm X, which is not the case. They were based on Jewish leaders. The authors are Jewish. They use Jewish leaders because, anyways. So
there are some similarities you could certainly draw.
And the metaphor about segregation and. You know,
yeah,
it's similar, but it was not the case. And they are terrific actors, both Denzel and Giancarlo.
Yeah,
but I think should not be the case. But again, he is on the show and he does a terrific job as usual. We almost
there's even a fun nod to Breaking Bad.
Yes, Yeah, we're getting close to the end. We have two more episodes. But so far, we already recommend because it's good.
Yeah, it's well written. It's really fun to watch. And TV works really well for Guy Ritchie. I think, like, having this one, because, you know, like, in his movies, he has, like, all those different, like, disparate threads that then come together beautifully at the end. This is giving him lots of time to, like, develop all these different things, and they're doing a great job of balancing, like, episodic storytelling, but also having a nice long arc that's going to come together. It's been really fun. So I like this a lot, and yeah. I hope they do another season.
The Gentleman's available mm-hmm. on Netflix, mm-hmm. 8 episodes. Well worth your time. Very fun. Especially if you like Guy Ritchie and this whole Royals meet drug lords.
Upstairs, downstairs, campaigns. But with criminal undertones.
He did call it the Downton Abbey of aristocrats.
Yeah. Isn't that the regime?
Oh, this way.
Yeah. This is very similar, you know, Downton Abbey. And they call it Upstairs, Downstairs. There was actually a BBC show called that, like, years and years ago. But Upstairs is, like, the nobility, and then Downstairs is the help, the servants. So this, you do very much have that whole vibe, but in this case, we've got Upstairs, the nobility, the wealthy, and then Downstairs, the drug lords, but how they don't really exist without each other. And anyway, it's great and it's delightful, and you should watch it.
Yeah.
On Netflix. Okay, the Oscars happened this past week.
The Oscars happened.
Finally wrapping up award season.
Yeah. No surprises.
Zero surprises.
Yeah, Robert Downey Jr. won Best Actor in Supporting mm-hmm. Role. Cillian Murphy, Best Actor. Divine Johnson, Best Actress.
Supporting Actress.
Uh-huh. Emma
Stone. There are so several Emmas. Yeah.
Best Actress, uh-huh. Oppenheimer, Best Picture.
Yep.
Christopher Nolan, Best Director.
Barbie Miyazaki, took a Best Song, right?
Best Song.
Yeah.
Miyazaki won Best Animation. Mm-hmm. Godzilla Minus won Best Special Effects. What else?
Weren't they one of the lowest budgets? Out of the special effects nominees,
probably for sure the lowest.
Yeah,
yeah.
So like extra.
Because they had like Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's
like,
right.
200+ million.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else worth mentioning? The winners.
From the winners, not that I can recall. Like we said, there weren't any surprises. This kind of followed trends that we saw all throughout award season, from SAG and Critics Choice and Golden Globes and Emmys and all that stuff. So no real huge surprises. Couple notes from the ceremony. Al Pacino kind of caused a stir when he didn't, usually the presenters come out and they read the nominees and then they open the envelope. He just skipped all that.
Yeah. Some people didn't like it. He mm-hmm. came out and apologized, which is, I don't know, you might think it's the only opportunity that movie that is nominated to give some sort of recognition, right? Because
sure.
They're not going to win, mm-hmm. but at least the name is there in the top.
Yeah.
But he was like, blah, blah, blah. He just went there and spilled mm-hmm. the winner. So, but he came out and apologized, and I guess it's, and mm-hmm. again, it's Hollywood. Just seeing worse in this messed up world of Hollywood, yeah. including the debacle of La La Land and Moonlight.
Sure.
At least the guy said the wrong one, or the wrong one won. And they said, oh, sorry, sorry, sorry. Anyways.
Yeah. Worse things have happened. But it's... So I guess...
Nice. Nobody got slapped this
That's
time.
That's right.
But John Cena showed up naked.
A nice nod. That was for the costume design award, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
What else? Mulani had a really funny moment. If you didn't see, you should see. He goes on about, well, you should see.
Okay.
And it was good.
Yeah. What was Emma's, Jimmy Kimmel made some joke about Poor Things.
Oh, yeah. If Mulaney was really funny, and he should host. He totally should host next year.
Mulaney's very funny, yes.
But Jimmy Kimmel made a joke about Poor Things, and lip readers everywhere, and again, it's not that hard. It's not only deaf people that can do it. People that they can hear can do it too. So they clearly, the camera panned to her, and they clearly saw her say, prick.
Oh.
Yeah, she wasn't happy about the
joke.
Oh,
dear.
Yeah.
All right. Well, she did win the Oscar for that, so yeah. I guess she has, you know.
Batman was in the house. Penguin.
Yes.
Penguin and Mr. Freeze.
Uh-huh.
Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito showed up, and they mentioned, oh, we're here because of Batman and yada, yada, yada. And they called out Michael Keaton, who was in the audience.
Yep.
And like, come get me.
Yes. Pretty it was funny. A nice moment. It kind of reminded me of when Emily Blunt and Anne Hathaway were presenting something, and they made jokes about Devil Wears Prada.
Mm-hmm.
They went to Meryl Streep, who went into her, I forgot the name. Anyway, went right. It was a nice moment.
Yeah.
Michael Keaton proving again that he's such a great Batman.
on the same type of joke, Ryan Gosling. There wasn't Barbie. He was Ken. Emily Blunt. There was on Oppenheimer, and she's they're gonna be together on The Fall Guy. Joked about.
Looks like such a good movie.
They joked about how Oppenheimer was running on Barbie's tail, and then the other one says like, "Stop Ken-splaining things to me." Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was okay. Nothing out of the ordinary. The ceremony, of course, went through problems with protests blocking the streets of Hollywood, protests for Hamas, and again, also a couple of people in the audience, some of celebrities were wearing ribbons pro Hamas.
Mm.
But besides that, no surprise, nothing crazy. If you were expecting Barbie to win more, then you would have a surprise. But come on, nobody actually believed that.
Yeah.
Because you had a Oppenheimer, a real movie, really good movie, really well made. And Barbie was not bad, but it was between bad and good. It was around mediocre. It had its power. But in reality, it was not like, wow, what a piece of cinematic history.
Yeah, Barbie was like culturally really important, but that's not what like the Oscars are about. I don't know.
Actually, Oppenheimer,
I feel like the movie, everybody that won, as far as I know, totally deserved it. We haven't seen Poor Things yet, so I can't comment on that. But I feel like this was one year where like every award I saw, like I feel pretty good about
actually talking about cultural popular importance, Oppenheimer was actually the movie one of the, since Lord of the Rings, Oppenheimer was the second to that. It was the movie to win the best picture and being so popular and have an audience that was gigantic. It didn't happen. It happened now with Oppenheimer. Last time it happened was Lord of the Rings, Return of the King. So there you see how the Academy is actually disconnected in a lot of moments. The one with the driver and some of the pictures that win are not that powerful.
Green Book.
You know, this one actually a lot of people saw it, a lot of people liked it, and it was popular, it was powerful, and it won Best Picture. It's not always a happen. So if anything, this time the Academy got it right.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. TikTok might not be long for this world, or at least not in the United States. The House passed a bill with huge majority, bipartisan. We haven't seen anything like this for ages. 352-65, saying passing a bill that would either force the owners of TikTok to either divest, or ban it in the United States.
Yeah, good riddance. Mm-hmm. They do have a chance to make some money by selling the majority of their assets. Mr. Wonderful, known from the Shark Tank, he said, I'll buy it. I'll buy it. I'll make sure They're going to keep making money. But we control, we move the service to the US, you move the structure, the programming, so it stops spying on people. It becomes an American thing. But most likely the Chinese will not sell. They are pushing a campaign throughout their social media influencers to asking people. I mean, they control the minds of people, so they're using the mind control they have in people. To call your senator, call your congressman. Well,
here's the thing. They're not even just doing it through influencers. There was a push notification that went out to all adult users using their location data to give them the phone numbers for their representatives.
See?
So it wasn't just like getting users or content creators to say stuff. It was the app itself.
Yeah,
and that's one of the big critiques.
China doesn't want to lose that control. Because TikTok Chinese app that spy on you, and also is proved by more than one study and specialist that causes damage to our youth. You know, it creates all sorts of mental problems and increases all sorts of mental problems in youth and adults.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about the optics of banning a social media app.
That's what they preaching. That's what China is pushing.
I know, and it's not just China. It's not a great look. Free speech, like that First Amendment, is hugely important. Yeah, not to be underestimated.
But it's an enemy nation.
I know. I'm just throwing in the other side. This isn't a done deal, and I don't like. It's just worth.
Yeah, well, and it's not against.
I hope that they decide to sell. That would be much better.
Because yes, they're giving them the option if they don't want. Yeah, it's they only proving everybody right that they.
Well, and the other thing is the other two major social media platforms are owned by the same company. Facebook and Instagram are both Meta, and that's not great.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe somebody else can like rise from the ashes and. Make something happen, but we'll see.
Very, very unlikely. But anyways, good riddance, TikTok.
Yeah. And this still has to go through the Senate and get signed. So it's not a done deal. But
Slow Joe, Sleepy Joe, he said he would send it to me. I'll sign it.
Yeah.
But
we'll see what the Senate does. Because Trump has come out against it.
What he does from one day to another is like, you know, the classic Super Joe. Jeez. Yeah. Anyways.
Okay. What's going on with SBI?
SBI, Sweet Baby Inc. Sweet Baby Incorporated.
Oh.
If you're playing video games these days and you feel like it's full of woke garbage and it's full of nonsense, changing, crapifying your characters, your story, your games that you always loved, you can blame SBI or Sweet Baby Inc. You know, if you felt like the new Spider-Man was a letdown, you felt like there's some moments in God of War that Kratos was like kind of weird, and the characterizations of some characters were like, it's like a black kid in Valhalla and stuff like that. It's all caused by this company called Sweet Baby Inc. And they got caught on trying to cancel a website, a group called Sweet Baby Inc. Detected. So this group is listing all the games where this company is working to expose that the company is a consulting company. It's not even a game company. It's a consulting company hired for diversity, inclusivity, all that thing to put that on the games. So on this, there's this whole commotion going on because the video game industry alone makes more money than the movie industry and the music industry together.
Seriously?
Yeah. Jeez. So they realize that's like, hey, that's how you change the minds of our future generation. So they invest in games and poorly. Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League, the new game for PlayStation, is failing. Sony promised, that's like, we give your money back. We give them money back. You don't like the game? Give us back. We give them money back. That's how bad it is. And they always go back to Sweet Baby Inc. The one of the chiefs of the company was actually saying, and we saw that with Gemini a couple weeks ago, on how Gemini, for the sake of inclusivity, diversity, it would like black Nazis or Japanese Vikings.
That's right.
You know, ignoring, erasing history. Sweet Baby Inc., the one of the chiefs there, said it's like they willing to do that. It doesn't matter if it's not accurate. It doesn't matter if it changed. The idea is to, you know, include, to be diverse, even when it makes no sense. That's how radical they are. And that's going on. They're fighting hard to try to cancel everybody that goes against them, because, mm-hmm. you know, they have this hive mentality. They have to do that even if it, yeah. Anyways, so yeah. That's Sweet Baby Inc. It was on the news, and hopefully we're still in the news, because they tried to cancel the good guys. The guys are trying to expose them about what they do. And they don't deny they do it, but they don't want people to know.
That's the weird part for me. Like, dude, if they're doing a good thing, why does it matter?
Right.
If people know about it.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense to me.
Anyways.
All right. Let's look at some new and upcoming projects. Millie Bobby Brown's new Netflix movie called Damsel is doing really well. They got 35 million views in the first weekend, which puts them in the top 10.
It's not doing well with the critics. We didn't see yet, so we're not going to talk about it. I like her. I saw her on a Comic-Con, and she was hilarious. She was really... And she was much younger. That was like years ago.
Yeah. But she's always been like very precocious and
very
smart and witty and talented actor.
And she's a heir to the Jovies, right? She's marrying a Bon
That's
Jovi's
right.
kid.
Yeah.
Heir to the Jovies.
Okay. The Traitors. So we just finished season 2 of The Traitors. This is a game show, reality show hosted by Alan Cumming.
Yes.
Okay.
Just now double it's check. Alan too.
Yeah.
Probably Alan.
Yeah, I know. That's why I had to stop and like double check. Like, is it really this guy? I don't know. Anyway, they decided to lean into the comedy. They're trying to cast more Vanderpump Rules people for season 3, more sports stars. I think that's a good idea.
It's I mean the other season too, but this one, they take themselves so serious.
Oh my gosh.
It's like it's a game. But they take themselves like, you know, the murderers, the traitors. They play the traitors, and when someone is trying to catch them, and it's like, this is a gang. They are thugs. I'm like,
oh my gosh, this is ridiculous.
So serious.
I did like it a lot better than the first season though, where they had just like they had a few celebrities celebrities, and then a few like just normal people.
They had normal people.
They did, and then it just got ugly and sad because the housewives and the survivors, they were, you know, playing a reality show game, but then, like, the normal people were just it got ugly, it got sad. This time with all these like housewives, bachelors, used to the drama, but also like it's like a career for them, it's a profession. It didn't get so emotional or sad. It was just funny.
Yeah, it was like, now that you mentioned, I remember, it was like rich people taking money away from commons.
And at the end, like, it was really depressing, even though the winner played so well and like completely like aced the game, did everything right.
Yeah.
Like played brilliantly. It was still this just time, really depressing. The people walking away like, I was betrayed.
The traitors got caught. I'm glad the TJ and CJ and Trishel CT. I'm bad with two letters. Yeah. CT and Trishel won. I liked them from the beginning, and if anything, they were trying to play a game because it was a game when other people were taking it so serious and anyways.
Oh my word! I hope that the people they get for season 3 try to play a little bit more intelligently. Like, actually try to play the game instead of be like, this person reacted in a weird way to my joke, and so I think they're a traitor.
They were emotional to the point that's like, she's my friend. She will never do that to me. Which is like, it's a game.
Anyways. Yeah. So I don't know.
Talking about bad people. I'm sorry.
Oh.
James Gunn. So Batman 2 is being delayed to 2026. And there's a lot of people on the interwebs. They are blaming James Gunn for it. Because James Gunn has his DC universe.
It's become something of a hobby.
And James Gunn gonna come up with his own Batman. So there's allegations and rumors that the delay might be more than a delay. They might cancel Batman. Even though the first one was very successful. Another titty bit of evidence is that the director Matthew Vaughn, on his Facebook page, everything that was Batman was like, so.
Oh dear.
But again, it's not the first time that James Gunn comes to destroy what we love. So.
Yeah. For like zero good reasons. That's a bummer. Well, there is hope shining brightly before us. The Bear season 4 is going to be filmed back to back with season 3.
Oh yeah.
So
the Bear that got season 3 renewed.
Two more seasons.
Already got a fourth season.
Yeah.
Renewed. Surprise one. It's going to be shot back to back.
The Ghost was renewed on CBS. We are very happy about this. This has so far been a quality show, and I think I don't feel like they're running out of steam yet. I still feel like they have plenty of juice, plenty of
yeah, especially
story
the
to tell.
Plot twist of the last week's episode. Yeah, so, yeah.
Yeah, so two plot twists.
Yeah, I'm talking about the very end.
Yeah,
plot
yeah.
Because the what happened to the Pete's wife, it wasn't expected, but well, you know, it could happen. The plot twist was a surprising because they established that Flower got sucked off, and she actually didn't get sucked off.
That's right.
You should see it.
Yeah. The other day was Super Mario Brothers Day? Mario Day? What do they call it?
Mario Day is
okay.
Mario Day.
Yeah, I did not connect that. Anyway, so we watched the movie. Still fantastic.
Yes.
Still delightful. Yeah. And they announced a sequel.
Yeah, it will come out in 2026.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's half as good as the first one, it would be really good.
Yeah, it was fun. We watched it with my mom and sister, neither of whom had seen it yet. And neither of whom were terribly into video games or Mario or any of that. They loved it. It's such a solid movie.
Weirdos.
Well, nobody's perfect. All right, it's time for everybody's favorite section. What is Disney/Marvel/Snowy Marvel doing wrong this week?
Okay. Let's go fast to it because we don't have a lot of time. Is all we have left?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go. Let's not spend a lot of time. So Marvels. Uh-huh. Well, now it's one of I wrote this, so this is wrong.
Do your best.
Marvels now is also one of the worst performing MCU film on Disney Plus. So not only in the box office, but also on Disney Plus. Just to prove that it's not. Some people blame the fans. It's like. Nobody has interest to see it. It doesn't matter if they're going to pay to go to the theater or if they're going to stay home.
Yeah.
Okay.
Every now and then something does better on streaming, but this did not.
Yeah.
This has led to Bob Iger thinking Eternals 2 is a guaranteed flop.
Yeah.
We agree.
So he, according to him, rumor says that he is not going to make Eternals 2, another Captain Marvel, which will be the third one, another Ant-Man movie, because the company should invest in big hits, in profitable franchise. It's not like losing money, like they do.
Yeah. So they've also maybe canceled the Bambi live action, which that doesn't need to happen.
They killed Bambi's mom. No, they're gonna kill Bambi. Oh jeez.
Okay. What's going on with Rachel Ziegler in Snow White?
Oh yeah,
they're reducing
like
more
and more rumors that they're reducing her role considerably on the movie. They're gonna be a little girl as Snow White, and she's gonna be less and less on screen because. Everything she said.
Okay. The X-Men 97 creator was fired?
Yes. The show is about to start and he just got fired. There's a lot of controversy surrounding the show because they're going for, again, woke garbage. They're pushing agendas and for homosexuality, bisexuality on the show for kids, on the show that takes place in 97, where none of the agenda of the day now was a thing. Anyways, you know the drill, all the crap they push. The guy was fired allegedly, not because of that, which he should, but this is not going to change things. Like, oh, we're going to go back to the good side. No, allegedly he was fired because he working on a kids show. He had a OnlyFans account with full nudity. And
that's weird.
Working for the Mouse House, working for the making kids shows. Okay. So yeah, good riddance.
Okay then. Brendan Wayne has revealed there were no plans for season 4 of The Mandalorian. Not really a huge surprise because they're making a movie.
Yes. So there's more and more rumors that Mandalorian 4 might not happen.
Yeah.
But again, that would be 2025, I think, 2026.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways.
But between the way season 3 ended and with the announcement of the movie, like, I just kind of assumed.
That's true. And if anything, if they take the time to do something good, that would be nice. Mm-hmm. Talking about something good or not, because this is such a mess. It's like, let's do this. Oh, let's not do this. Let's do this. Let's not do this. Anyways, Patty Jenkins is back on board to make a Rogue Squadron from Lucasfilm, Star Wars, Disney.
I really want this to work out because Rogue's, like, it could be
really
cool.
It's great content.
It could be really good.
Great content. It's great source material. But Kathryn Kennedy said that Star Wars has a problem that it doesn't have a lot of source material.
Oh my gosh.
So they might completely ignore it. And they've been ignoring like every source material for both comic books and later properties. They just avoid it. Don't do it.
Except for Dave Filoni, who's like sneaking a lot of it back into the canon. So thanks, Dave. Okay, Sony execs are reportedly unhappy with Dakota Johnson's comments about Madame Web.
Oh, she's like,
we were unhappy about Madame Web, so
she's
everybody's disappointed.
She's out. Sydney Sweeney made a joke on SNL. There was jokes at the Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
But Sony, they made their bed. So
yeah, they really did. And honestly, like we said last week, I'm kind of I like Dakota Johnson more for being honest about this. I'm not pretending. Venom 3 has a title.
Yes, Venom, The Last Dance.
Which definitely doesn't make me think of Ghost or rom-coms or anything like that at all. Okay, and Madonna. Madonna, I guess she's always been like a really controversial person.
Just before Madonna, kind of we were thing. Talking about Captain Kennedy and how there's no source materials for. Yeah. I think it was the Fallout producers saying that they tried to do something different, very different, deviating from the source material because, quote, nobody can, when you please, nobody can please a fan of anything. I was like, oh.
You can't please all the fans. There's always going to be someone who's disappointed, but you can,
but it can do the deliver a solid.
Yeah.
Yes. It's baloney. It's like
there's always gonna be somebody who's gonna be miffed, sure, but
yeah, no, you can like, please the high majority if you do a proper work, if you do a proper job.
Yeah.
So it's like coward or liar or both. Anyways, now back to Madonna.
Yeah, so she's always been a controversial person. So maybe this isn't that surprising, but she was performing at a concert. Everybody's like super pumped, up, standing up, dancing, except for this one guy. And she called him out on stage.
Get up, get up.
Get up. Why are you sitting? He's in a wheelchair, guys. not everybody can stand. And maybe you should just leave people alone if they're not acting as worshipful of you as you think they should be.
If you didn't need any proof that she's too old for that, at least some of the stuff she does. And again, there's a time that you have to get out on a high, as I say.
Yeah, end on a high note.
End on a high note. And a lot of people do that. And she's one that's refused. I don't know. Maybe she has bills to pay. Anyways, not our business. But that's it for this week.
Mm-hmm.
We come back. That's it, right?
Yeah.
Right. We come back next week with more pop culture news entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to finish The Gentleman. There's more Shogun. There's the end of Masters of the Air. There's so many cool stuff. But for now, that's it. May the force be with you.
Live long and prosper.
Bye.
Bye.